Yes.
Right now, it's time for Fun with Real Audio, though.
All right. It's been a while.
Some good entries today.
I think so.
Yeah, I'm trying to fix you up here.
Thanks. It's been a while since somebody dropped an F-bomb on this station. Honestly, you know, outside of some
random... It hadn't been that long.
Well, I know. Outside of some random caller, was it the Grego...
The hammer with the sports, fabulous sports princess or something?
Is that the last
fabulous
time?
Sports babe?
Right.
And we're
surely
talking,
somebody's done it since then.
Man, I don't think so. I don't think one of the hosts have.
An F-bomb. Not... Now, there was a time when we would dump and chase and say it on purpose and then dump it, and then we got in trouble for that. But just accidentally, just out of nowhere?
Casual conversation?
I don't think so.
Do we have the Grego one?
Yep.
Keep listening to me, the fabulous sports babe, to hear all about it from the folks at Pizza Hut.
Here comes Stone Temple Pilots.
Sports Radio 1310.
Pizza Hut, you're the
better. Boy, could Pizza Hut have got a better spokesman than that?
God, man. It's just...
Whoa!
He calls himself
that
out.
That is greatness. Let's all extol the greatness of Grego.
Let's not.
Right, yeah.
Let's not.
The drugs are kicking in
what
now.
Am I doing?
Boy, that was a... Oh, the drugs are kicking in now. That's what someone said.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Wow.
All right, lower it. It's, the overlaughter back then was just
so
annoying.
Bad. It's like my first radio job.
So earlier today...
It was pretty shocking, though.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah, it was shocking.
Then that effing...
Big. So earlier today, the Dan McDowell, Bob Sturm, Donovan Lewis radio extravaganza had on David Murphy of the Texas Rangers. Who Dan hates, by the way, remember?
Yes.
Remember that?
I sure do.
I don't know why.
He
I don't
thinks
think he
David
does
Murphy
now.
Has no usefulness whatsoever in the game of baseball.
So, Dan, if you listen closely, he drops an F-bomb, but right before he does it, he almost does it, he catches himself. He goes, and then says something else, and then does it anyway. And then David Murphy hangs up at the same time.
You know, maybe if I had another job, I could have put that on a resume somewhere, but fortunately enough, it doesn't matter if my
That's tough, though. That raises the bar when you invite David Murphy to your party. You better be pretty...
Oh,
dude,
oh my God.
So much just happened right there.
And boy, the raw audio...
And there it happened. Episode 2690. The casual... The casual...
And it wasn't... It wasn't real over the top. Like Grego's was,
right.
That effing, you know, he was all mad. I mean, Dan was just...
felt very comfortable with
it. Yeah, when you get invited to your party, when you invite David Murphy, I mean, you better effing... And then dial tone.
Yeah,
and
it was
then,
casual conversation.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Was it
Did
all
they ever
staged
get him back?
And haughty?
Yeah, David actually called back right after. He realized he got... He lost the signal.
Lost the connection.
Did he hear that, or did he indicate?
No, he didn't indicate that he heard that.
Oh, my God.
So shocking.
Pretty badass.
All right.
That was neat.
That was neat. Let's move on now.
I love your remarks. So much just happened there.
F-bomb, dial tone, everyone reacting is awesome.
Yesterday, they had big to-doings up in Boston where Bobby Orr, like a statue, was being dedicated to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had the mayor of Boston up there giving this big, long speech. And
then they have Boston Dave bring the statue in.
The good P1, Boston Dave?
Yeah.
I don't think he was involved in this.
Boston Dave thinks the Rangers are going to win their division.
Wow. Well, just hand him the trophy then. Why not?
He does, though.
Yeah. He's very emphatic about it, too.
You would think, though, that when you're reading off a list of the all-time great moments in Boston history, that you would have a handle on said moments, right? Especially
yes.
If you're the mayor.
Yes, especially in view of the fact that this might be the most provincial part of this country that there is. Their own. Those people like their own up there. They frown on the outsider. And they like people who have been around there for a long time, and they expect those people to know what's going on and why things are the way they are up there.
So here's this dolt who I've read about today that they say these mistakes that he made, that he won't care He won't even think about it tonight. It won't bother him one bit. He's just that type of guy. But these are pretty large errors, these great men, when discussing these.
Amazing set of remarkable athletes. You have an amazing set of remarkable athletes. Whose action in the moment have become ionic.
Ionic?
Yes, not iconic.
Or ironic. Ionic.
Ionic.
This sounds strangely familiar. Is he medicated?
I don't know.
Sounds like the dude at the North Texas game that said the invitation.
Or he could be an expert
in
me.
We have an amazing set of remarkable athletes. Whose action in the moment have become ionic in sports. Havlicek stole the ball. Fisk waving the ball fair. Flutie launched the Hail Mary pass. Veritek splitting the uprights.
I'm sorry?
Veritek splitting the uprights.
The invitation.
He got the V right.
How could you make that mistake? You are the mayor of Boston.
So he confused Vinatieri with Veritek.
Mm-hmm. Was there a Veritek home run that won a game in the World Series, or did he do something? I'm sure he did something.
I mean, there's nothing defining that he did in the World Series, is there, Mike?
Did he just look down? Because someone wrote that for him. Did he just look down and see V, and Veritek came to mind?
Yes.
He probably had his biggest moment when he picked the fight with A-Rod.
Okay.
I mean, that's
ionic in sports. Havlicek stole the ball. Fisk waving the ball fair.
I remember that.
Flutie launched the Hail Mary.
Great move.
Pass. Veritek splitting the uprights.
And you should have seen right then as...
WTF.
WTF. I mean, seriously, it was like they're kind of just all looking down like, oh, yeah, yeah, the Hail Mary, yeah, yeah. I remember. And then they just stare at him after the Veritek splits the uprights. It was like that guy the other night who screwed up the national anthem when... at the great game, the guy from Bowling for Soup.
What did he do? Oh, yeah, he did screw up some words.
Yeah, he did. Poor kid.
It was high.
All right, so the other day I'm watching the Players' Championship, or as Mike calls it, the Buick Open.
What do you call it, the Players' Championship? Or they call it the TPC?
It's the Players' Championship.
Right.
Yeah, it's
TPC. They should just say at TPC, not the TPC. Right?
That's the... Because then
this is going to take way too long.
The Players' Championship. Anyway, continue.
Anyway, so I'm watching this, and it ends, and I do like old people do. Instead of changing the channel when it's over, I leave the TV on, and then I go take a shower, and then I'm shaving my mustache. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Now that's hot.
Thank you. And as I'm shaving, I'm listening to what's on the TV. And it is an infomercial for an insurance company. Okay? And I just decide, why not just let it run instead of change the TV? This is where my life is right now. And something struck me as extremely odd. We're not going to tell you the name of this insurance company, but suffice it to say that they have very odd relationships with their customers.
Very.
The first thing...
Their adjusters are... very close to the families that they provide insurance for.
This first voice you hear is an adjuster. The second, and by the way, they're all standing together.
Mm-hmm.
And when the woman starts talking, I don't know if this was, you couldn't tell which one was her husband. She got so affectionate and so emotional about this. So this is the insurance adjuster followed by the family he represents. And you tell me if you've ever been this close to your insurance adjuster.
I'm proud to work for a company that has the ability to reach out to its people, not only from a business point of view, but from a personal, humanitarian point of view, where we can help people through their situations and through their disasters.
Our adjuster is like family. I mean, he's never, ever made us feel like it's a business transaction. It's been about friends helping friends.
I trusted him from the moment I met him. He is just an angel, a gift.
Yeah, very much so.
Really?
An angel?
A gift?
He's one of the family? I've known you guys for 15 years. You guys are some of my best friends. I never talk about you like this.
No.
What, you don't consider me a gift?
an angel?
Me an angel?
Yes.
When someone says, hey, what's Corby like?
Oh, man, you know? He's an angel. He's a gift. He's like my family.
Your insurance adjuster. I mean, what kind of schlop are they trying to sell on the TV?
But that is speaking in hyperbole at its finest.
The worst.
That's worse than you.
A million times worse than me.
What cult are they a part of? That sounds cultish.
It's a very well-known insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
Very well-known. And you know what? They may end up advertising, so let's just leave them alone.
Yes, we welcome them into the fold of the little ticket. We will treat you like angels and gifts.
Mike Reiner, Corby Davidson, the angel and gift of the ticket.
In my never-ending quest to get Mike to start watching the finest show on television,
which is
The Family Guy, I thought this was very apropos. This was sent to me by a good P1. There was an episode last year that centered around the main character, Peter, growing a mustache. And since we're all having to grow mustaches, Peter doesn't have one on the show. This is the head of the household, if you don't watch the show. And he walks in to the breakfast table, mm-hmm. and his family turns and looks at him, and he has a full-blown Tom Selleck mustache. And they're all taken aback. So you tell me, Mike, funny or no?
Oh, my God, Dad. What's on your face?
It's a mustache, Meg.
Oh, I think it's sexy.
I think it's gay.
It's not gay, Brian. If I'm gay, then Freddie Mercury was gay.
Freddie Mercury, the lead singer of Queen? He was incredibly gay.
He was not. He had a mustache, which is practically like a wedding ring.
I imagine you're going to be much more of a stern father now that you have a mustache.
Well, Chris, there may be more lap-sitting than there's been, and I might answer most of your questions with a story. But mostly my mustache tells people that there is a 90% chance that I am poorly educated, that I keep upscale porn magazines out in the open, and that I listen to the Little River Band with giant headphones.
That sucked.
It's just
so genius.
Brilliant.
The giant headphones.
Just brilliant. There is no other way to describe that, and that is the way I feel right now with my mustache. Exactly like that. Uneducated, upscale porn,
mm-hmm.
listening to the Little River Band with giant headphones.
So bad about the Little River Band.
Obviously nothing.
Because you have a mustache.
Right. Right now, there is nothing wrong with it.
Mustache or no, I like the Little River Band.
And I have upscale porn. And I barely finished high school.
That's...
Not
yeah,
far from the
it's
truth.
Real, I know. It's really check, check, and check.
Right.
Thank All you, right. Uncle Tio.
We have to go.
We do?
Well, there's
oh,
more.
This is fun.
We
oh,
have
man.
More, but unfortunately,
and I'm
I know you are. But we must go.